The thing God put on my heart, and I'm going to share some of the, a couple of the seasons of my life tonight and how we came up to a place where we just needed some more insight. How many of you know life is a series of steps?
Yes.
Remember, the Bible talks about us running the race that's set before us. That's our life down here. The race, the plan of God for our life down here. And a race is a series of steps.
Yes.
Remember, it says over in Ephesians chapter number, I'm not having you turn there, but Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10 in the Amplified, that we're taking paths
yes.
which he has prepared ahead of time.
Yes,
there's a plan for all of our lives. That plan is not, maybe there's a general plan in the Word for all of our lives, but there's unique steps each one of us have to take,
right.
you know, that are different maybe than somebody else's.
That's right.
You know, like, you know, our call to the ministry may be different than your call. Maybe you have a call to business or
right.
maybe, you know, we have people who call to the ministry too, but you know what I mean? Different people have a different plan for their lives.
Yes, sir.
And we value all of it. We don't just value one above others or something. Everybody's got a supply to the body of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And so, but that plan is a path. And he says there in Ephesians 2:10 that we're taking paths, which he's prepared ahead of time.
Amen.
It's one thing to find out what the path is. It's another thing to take it. Amen. In other words, walking in the plan of God is not automatic.
Right.
We have to choose it. Taking it means choosing it. Except you can't take it or choose it without knowing what it is.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
When I was a teenager, I've shared this to a degree about the season that I... I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I started knowing there's so much more for me, because that I was called as a young, I don't know, maybe an 8-year-old boy to the ministry. God spoke to me in a dream. It's a long story. I don't have time to get into that. But then, you know, I kind of got away from the plan of God, and I kind of was on my own plan. You know, wasn't thinking about the plan of God. I had my own things I wanted to do. And I was going that path and going further into rebellion and different things until I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then all that plan came rolling back in on me.
Right.
And it was something that was paramount. It was standing in front of me, so to speak. I knew I had to fulfill that plan.
Right.
Well, I could no longer, you've heard me tell the story, I could no longer enjoy my partying. You know, I'd leave the parties early, take my 1981 powder blue hatchback Toyota Celica back in the woods, supposed to be home at 10 or whatever, 10:30, and I'm back there at 9 o'clock, already done with the party. I can't even enjoy that anymore. And I'm going back in there, and I'm pulling back into the woods, because who wants to be at home on Friday night with your mom and dad? So I thought I'd just spend some time by myself. And I went back into the woods, and I sit back there, and I just pound my steering wheel. Say, God, what is it you want with me? There's such a call. It's calling to me, and I knew there's something I had to do. And so I would pray. I would pray in the Spirit. I'd been baptized in the Spirit. And I became aware... Some say this nicely, but I became aware that to fulfill the plan of God for my life, I knew I had to leave the people I was around.
Yeah.
Just put it that way. I wasn't going to fulfill it in that denomination. Amen. There was that awareness, but how to fulfill that, I didn't know. I mean, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to? And so my heart was yearning and calling out to God for what I knew. I want to say what I knew I needed, what I knew needed to happen, but yet I didn't know it in my head. And I certainly didn't know how. But yet my heart's calling out for it. And in those times of prayer, I'm praying it out. I didn't know everything about praying in other tongues and what it all did and how that you pray mysteries when you speak in tongues. You can go to Romans chapter number 8. We'll start there. But I just knew that somehow or another, on the inside, it brought some relief whenever I would pray in the Spirit. Didn't know a lot of the word. I just knew what I was experiencing when I prayed in tongues. And by praying in other tongues, notice what it says here in Romans 8 about praying in other tongues, that which is what he's talking about here, by the way. Romans 8:26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now, here's one of our infirmities, for we know not. That's where I was. I didn't know. There were some things I didn't know. There were some things I knew generally. Like I just said, I knew I'm going to have to get away from these people don't know God. Now, I'm not trying to be critical. They knew him to a degree. But not like my heart was telling me I needed to know him. I knew they couldn't lead me into. See, you can't teach people what you don't know. So I just knew I needed some more. And so, but I didn't know how to get there. And here's what he said here. For we know not. The Spirit helps us in our infirmities. Here's one of our infirmities. We know not. There's some things we don't know. We just know our heart's calling out for it. But how to do it and how to get there and fulfill that, we just don't know. But he said, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, thank God for the Holy Ghost. King James says itself, it's himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I actually experienced that back there in that sitting in the car in the woods. These longings and groanings would come out. I thought I was losing my mind. What is wrong with me? I used to enjoy all the stuff I used to enjoy. I don't enjoy that anymore. And these cries, these yearnings, these groanings, these things coming out in prayer. I mean, this is getting crazy. Mind you, I didn't know everything I understand now. He said, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for the groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, let's read the next verse, because there's things here. We know that all things work together. And we know, excuse me, and connects it to what it just said. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. The Amplified says, we are assured, this is verse 28, and know that God being a partner in their labor. That is key right there. God being a partner in their labor. All things work together and are fitted into a plan for good to them that love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Now, that's important, because that's what he's talking about in verse 26 and 27. Yes, sir. You and the Holy Ghost working together, laboring together in prayer. Yes. That's what makes things work out according to a divine plan. Right. Not everything automatically works out according to the divine plan of God. Without prayer. You understand? People get that. People make that verse very religious, and it's not saying what people say. It's connected to verse 26 and 27. Amen. Through praying in other tongues, really you're hooking up to the mind of God, and you're hooking up to the plan of God. And through speaking utterances of the Spirit, you pray out the will of God. Verse 26 says, he makes intercession, or verse 27, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the will of God. You can pray in English concerning something that's not the will of God, but you can in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit will not anoint you to pray your own plan.
That's right.
He will help you pray God's plan.
Yes. Yes.
Why would he have you pray God's plan? Because he wants you to pray it out so that it can come to pass. And he wants you to pray it out so you can know what it is.
Yes.
and cooperate with it.
Yes.
Intelligently.
Yes.
Knowing what it is.
That's right. Amen.
If you know what it is, then you can cooperate intelligently.
That's right.
On purpose. Amen. And so that's what this is all about. But anyway, my prayer, I'm going back to when I was a teenager. I knew I was in a phase of transition.
Yeah.
I knew I was in a place where there was a change happening.
Yes, sir.
A change from one place in life to another phase.
Yes.
And I was praying in that. This happened several weeks. Going back in there in the car, just sitting in the woods before I go home and praying in the Holy Ghost. And I didn't know at the time what I was doing, and I didn't know. I just knew it sort of brought some relief on the inside. My only way to get relief. I couldn't have told you everything that was happening. But I said that to say this. Within a very short period of time, after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I think it was just weeks, I was talking to a friend at lunch period at school, and I said to her, I said, "What are you?" She's a year ahead of me. "What are you going to do whenever you graduate from high school?" She said, "I'm going to Rhema Bible Training Center." Now, I had never heard those words. I had never heard of Kenneth E. Hagin. But she said, "I'm going to Rhema Bible Training Center." And I didn't know where that was. But somehow or another, I've told you over and over again, somehow or another, as soon as she said those words, I've described it for many years. I didn't know why I described it this way, but I described it for many years as something kind of going and clicking into gear. On the inside. That's just, it was an interesting, I've never had an inner witness like it since that time in my life. I've had the inner witness many times, but not manifested like that. And instantly, I knew I was going to Rhema Bible Training Center. I didn't even know where it was. Didn't know what they taught. I didn't know what Brother Hagin was. But God did. He knew the plan. And he had me praying that out. And as soon as I heard what the plan was, it was instantly a witness of the Spirit came into me instantly. And instantly I knew what I was going to do. Now, I didn't know for years why I would describe it as a cog catching gear. That's the best way I know how to describe it. But years later, in fact, probably only about 10 years ago, or so, the Lord said to me, "The reason you always described it as that way is because that was the day you engaged my plan." Okay. It's like you got in gear with my plan. You were on your own plan.
Come on.
But you engaged my plan, and you, from that day on, you've been engaged and in gear with my plan.
Amen.
Well, maybe you got before that, but I'm just talking about my testimony. Hallelujah. How did I get in that? By prayer. You understand what we're talking about? And so really, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you hook up with the mind of God, and you're not praying what you know, you pray what he knows. When you pray in tongues, I'm talking about. And you're speaking those utterances out so that he can bring to pass the will of God. Now, with your own mouth, you're inviting God's will into your life, even though you might not even know what it is, what that will is. And it gives God permission to work according to his will, or work things out according to his will. Amen. And this will work in your life just as much as it'll work in our lives. This is how the will of God comes to pass and comes into manifestation. There's a lot of things that will never come to pass, even though they are the will of God, without praying in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Prayer of faith is good, but the prayer of faith is not enough. There has to be a praying out of mysteries. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter number 14? 1 Corinthians 14, 2. "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit, he's speaking what?
Mysteries.
Well, what would mysteries include? Be something you don't know. What is one thing you don't know? Romans 8 told you one of the things you don't know. He said there's things you don't know. The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not. We know not. There's some things we don't know. Now, there's some things we do know. You shouldn't be lazy in doing all your praying in tongues. But there's some things you don't know. What do you do about how do you pray about things you don't know? You pray in the Spirit.
That's right.
And he goes on and tells you one of the things that you might not know fully, maybe at least, what is that he's helping you pray out. That is the will of God.
Yes.
He's helping you pray out the will of God.
Right.
Praise the Lord. The reason a lot of people aren't in the will of God is because they don't pray in tongues.
That's right.
Or pray enough in tongues.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Now, part of the mystery of his will that you're praying out is the knowledge of his will. Well, that's what these paths are all about, that he said taking paths. Taking these paths. And so, well, that was one of the times that was a transitional time in my life that prayer got me through that transition. That was a major transition. Me connecting with the Hagin ministry.
Yes.
Yeah. It brought me my wife.
Yes.
The right wife. It got me my mind renewed.
Right.
I mean, it started the process. Got me on the right track.
Yeah.
It brought me into connection with anointings where I got impartations and endowments
on
my life. And it set me up for what was after that.
Yes.
See, that wasn't all of it. That was just the first phase.
Right.
The first part.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Because how many of you know no one fulfills the plan of God for their life in one phase or one step? And so I knew at that phase my life was going to have to take a turn. But when I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and started praying in tongues, it was just a short time until I engaged the plan of God and I got on the path that I was supposed to be on. Woo, glory be to God. That's what praying in other tongues will do for you. People today say, well, that's all passed away. They needed that back then, but we don't need that now. You mean I don't know the need to know the will of God now? We need to know the will of God now. Amen. Now, there was another time that was whenever I was a teenager. But remember whenever I said to you that whenever we came... Before we came here to pastor, because we had gone to Bible school. Of course, we met and got married. But then we went to Bible school, and right after Bible school, I was praying about what to do afterwards. I wanted to go somewhere and do something in the ministry. And the Lord never would say anything to me. Finally, I said, Lord, what are you? You're not saying anything to me. And he said, that's because I want you to stay right here where you are. And I want you to get involved in healing school. So we did that. And then we're involved there for a while. And then that out of that came our traveling ministry. We knew that was the plan of God. So we started functioning in that. But we got to the place in traveling ministry where it's like Brother Hagin described, like washing your feet with your socks on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or getting in the shower with your clothes on.
Right.
Just something ain't right.
Right.
And so I said, and everything started working terribly. Everything that was working just like a well-oiled machine, just like a Model T Ford. You know what I'm talking about? Long, 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 long. It wasn't working. And everything that had been working wasn't working anymore. Because God had started talking to me about pastoring, but I was blah, 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 blah. You've never done that. So I'll go over here and say that. It was awfully quiet over there. So things are getting worse by the month. Everything was getting worse by the month because I didn't want to listen to the plan of God. Finally, there's a longer story to this than I have time to, but I actually started not doing well physically. I told you about sleeping 8 hours a day. I mean, excuse me, 12 hours a day. And there's a longer story than that, and I never have told everything, but even my heart wasn't right. And even in one meeting, I got in one meeting, and a particular ministry actually that operated in the prophet's office rebuked death of it. I was just in the, I wasn't preaching, I was just in the congregation, just visiting to listen to them preach, and saw death and rebuked death off of me.
Wow.
Well, see, that started tracking me because I was starting to get into disobedience.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Not amen, so be it, but amen to that truth that we've got to pay attention to.
Absolutely.
So anyway, but there's more that I won't get into all that for time's sake. But so finally I surrendered because God had been dealing with me. Remember I told you that's actually at the same meeting that woman, that minister rebuked death off of me, that the Lord said to me, now before you leave this meeting, you're going to have to tell, I want you to acknowledge to these ministers. The ministers that were doing the meeting and the ministers that were hosting the meeting. The pastors that were hosting me. I want you to acknowledge to these ministers that God's been dealing with you about being called to the pastor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, because if you don't, you'll get back in disobedience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
And I said, all right. So I said, all right, I will. So I told him, before you go, I got something I want to tell you. So we went out to eat. And then we were going to get in the car and go and leave to go to our next meeting. But I said, I got to tell you something. So we got in the car. We had to go to the car, get in the car, go back to their house, and we get in our car. But we got in the car, and it got quiet. And I said, well, okay, I got to tell you something. And so I told him that God has been dealing with me to pastor. And there was a chuckle in the back seat. This particular pastor's wife, she's a lot of fun, good friends. But she laughed. And I turned around and I said, why are you laughing? She said, I'm listening. I said, no, you laughed. And so I said, I'm not telling you anymore until you tell me why you laughed. I can play hardball too, you know. So she said, well, we all been knowing that for a long time. Because I told her, God told me, called the pastor. And I said, well, thanks for telling me, you know. See, how many of you know I wouldn't have listened anyhow?
Yeah.
See, I'm telling on me, but see, some of you are in the same boat. Blah, 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 blah. And well, you're wondering why nothing's working. Well, I'm telling you tonight why nothing's working. So I told him all, and I said, the Lord told me I had to acknowledge it. You know, I preached on acknowledgement. That came out of that. And so finally, I said, all right, Lord, I've surrendered to that. Sure will. I'm willing. Let's go. I said, now here's what I want to do. I said, I want to start my own church. I've heard all the horror stories about starting, you know, people taking over churches. Don't want that. You know, I don't want to, I'd rather down south, somewhere down south. I was telling him, he said, you just leave all that. You just take your head off of that. You leave all that up to me. He said, you just pray in the Holy Ghost. So we did. We prayed in the Holy Ghost. And then one day he said to me, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, don't people take this wrong. There's only one time in my life the Lord's ever said this to me. And I don't particularly believe he would do this very often. But he said to me, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost today 8 hours. So I did. Praise God. Got it out within, it wasn't that same 24 hours, but within 24 hours. So I prayed that out. And I'm telling you what, thing after thing after thing that hadn't been working just got back to working again. I remember distinctly going out to a restaurant, sitting out and talking to her and say, I, right now I can think of four things within the last 2 weeks have turned around. And I listed them off. She said, sure enough. I still remember that conversation sitting there in that restaurant. Pray, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said, leave up to me and all the pastoring. So I just said, Father, I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost. You work it out. And then you remember the call from Tim, Pastor Tim Horton. I want you to come up and preach. I saw you were in the area. And then he said, I got something I want to talk to you about. I put down the phone and started laughing because I knew exactly what it was. And he said, and so we were up here and, you know, I preached and Pastor David wasn't with me that first time. And then he started talking to me after long, took forever. And he told me about what he had on his heart. I said, well, have you had anybody else? Have you talked to anybody else? He said, no. I said, oh, no pressure, I guess. So anyway, so it was the plan of God. And I said all that to say that that was a major transition. But how did we get through that transition? Praying in the Holy Ghost. What am I saying? We're at another place like that. Do you hear that? We're at another place like that. I'm just here saying. Just saying, like they say. Just saying, we're at another place like that. Praise the Lord. And so this church, Pastor Debbie and I, we're at another place in our life that calls for a season of increased prayer. Amen. Are you saying you're going to leave? I have no plans to leave. In fact, I don't sense that's what it is. There's just some things that we have prayed out. In fact, the Lord has said to me, when you prayed that 8 hours time of prayer, you prayed out this what's happened here at Spirit of Faith and you know, the daycare and everything that's happened. And he said, but you've already walked all that out. That's amazing. When the Lord said that to me, it was probably about 18 years of ministry. We had prayed out approximately 18 years of ministry. And that doesn't mean that we have never prayed since that time. Right. You know, we've continued to pray, and I'm sure some other things got prayed out. Yeah. No question. But these big phases, we've walked that out. But what are we going to do now? Just sit here and say, I wonder what's going to happen now. No, we're going to have to get our nose in the carpet, so to speak, as they say, and start praying in the Holy Ghost. There's some things he wants to reveal concerning the next step of his plan. And there's a lot of unction on Pastor Debbie and I right now to pray. And I've been talking to you about it. Amen. Some people don't want to take the time to pray, but listen, you'll have been in some of those places where you're at the end of one phase, and without getting into the next phase, you're done. You know, at some of these places, you get to, I'll just say that again. You're just aware that you're done. A lot of Christians don't realize how much we have to do with the prayer, the will of God coming to pass down here. People say it's all up to God. It's not up to God. God being a partner in our labors. We're going to be laboring together with Him about this. Amen. But see, you being out of the will of God will cost you too much. Oh, my goodness. It started costing us big time. But I'll say me, being unwilling to pastor, started costing us big time. It took us a while to get dug out of that. You don't want to, if you've ever been through one of those times, you don't want to ever go through that again. You just want to say yes real easy. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. You just sense something. Yes. I want to stay. I don't like that expensive stuff. Disobedience and being out of the will of God is expensive. And I'm not just talking about money. It can cost you the loss of a lot of things in a lot of areas. It can cost you even your life. Amen. And so really, if the plan's not progressing, let's put it this way, you're not progressing on the plan of God for your life, you keep the door open to the enemy. And that's dangerous. And so, amen. We're actually, to be honest with you, we're actually as a church. Now, I'm saying we. Now, you understand I'm including us. So don't take this wrong. But we're behind in prayer. Amen. But how many of you know, have you ever gotten behind on something, behind on your bills or something like that? I'm not saying it's the will of God, but I'm saying, have you ever done that? Some of you don't even want to admit you've ever been behind on your bills. I've been behind on my bills, especially out of the will of God. Nothing more expensive than disobedience. But have you ever gotten behind? And then later got caught up? Aren't you glad that if you ever get behind, you don't have to stay behind, you can get caught up?
Amen.
Same thing's true with prayer. If you get behind in prayer, you can get caught up. Praise God. Why don't we get caught up? What do you say?
Amen.
A lot of times whenever there's, there's a stirring about prayer in our lives right now. If you don't sense that, well, tune in a little bit better. And for really the whole, not just the plan for us, but the plan for the whole body of Christ is behind.
Yes.
God's been ready to do more for a long time. He just needs us to cooperate. Actually, the authority of the believers, one thing the Lord said, you're also behind Him. So we're going to have to do some catching up. But whenever we get into these seasons where the Spirit of God is stirring us up to pray, especially about the future, it's because God has a blessing in mind for us and another part of His plan in mind for us that's just out there waiting on us. He's wanting to reveal it. You understand. And that's why He's stirring us up. In the light of here in Romans 8:28, the context of this is prayer, isn't it? God being a partner in their labors in prayer. The reason He moves on us in prayer is because He has something on our path that needs to be worked out or prayed out for our good. And the reason He didn't have you praying about it before is because you were still walking out something before.
Yeah.
Or praying out something before that.
Right.
But if you'll keep praying in the Holy Ghost and not ever slack in this area, you'll have things, you'll continually keep things prayed out in front of you before you get there.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that we catch up to a place where we haven't prayed out yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because if you pray things out, you don't have to work them out. You just walk them out. You won't have to push them through. They just push you. I don't mean you don't have a part into play in faith. But there's a lot of these things that get stymied by the enemy because they don't have enough. I'm talking about the plan of God, because they don't have enough of the impetus of the Spirit behind it because of making power available in prayer. So it gets hindered and keeps being undercut. You know, a ministry starts doing something and the enemy's activity undercuts it because there's not enough impetus of the Spirit to get it going. Amen. I'm just telling you something that if you apply it to your own life, it'll be a great help to your life. But I'm applying it particularly to the ministry right now. But it'll all apply to your own life. So you have to keep taking these steps, and to change tomorrow, you got to do something today. You have to pray. Without prayer, tomorrow will be the same scenery as today, and the same hindrances and the same obstacles and the same level of faith and the same measure of His plan being fulfilled. It just stays the same. Amen. That's one thing I told Katie on the phone. I said it would be, it'd be unwise to keep doing the same thing. Talking about the daycare situation, be unwise to keep doing the same thing and expect something different.
Yes,
yeah. Let's get the mind of God about something we got to change here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's a form of insanity to keep doing the same thing and expect something different. So we got a prayer is how we work together with God on these things. But our tomorrows are determined by our prayers today. Many of our tomorrows only look like God's plan if we'll seek to know that plan and then move with it as He reveals it. Isn't that right? And so, how do you pray about something you don't understand? You do it in tongues. You do it in other tongues. I don't know if you've noticed, but when we've got together, whenever I've led prayer here at the church in the last couple of months, last couple of times, you never notice I keep getting back on the plan. The plan. Like I was writing in the blog for so long. The plan. Because that's where God has us right now. God spoke to us about a church, planting another church. Amen. Well, what are we going to do about that? Just sit and twiddle our thumbs? No, we're going to have to pray that out. And we have been praying it out. In fact, that's what I sense I want to pray about tonight. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really? So God didn't set you here. He didn't, you know, whenever He called you to connect up with this ministry, you're just kind of like a, maybe just sucking air. You don't have anything to do with it. There's going to be some of you traveling. I sense a couple people moving. Ooh, I don't know if that's me. Well, then don't go. Don't be afraid about it. That isn't going to help you get willing and obedience. Get willing and obedient. Amen. Well, I don't want it to be me. Well, you better be willing, whatever it is, whatever God's will is. Well, I don't like Kansas City. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. I delight to do, just say, I delight to do thy will, O God. Amen. It's our joy. It's our joy, our delight. Hallelujah. But I want you to think about that. It wasn't within weeks of me praying when as a teenager I got filled with the Holy Spirit that I engaged the plan of God. Do you believe that same thing is true today? If you and I only pray out of what is in our own mind, we'll only be able to have what our minds can come up with. But praying out of the mind of God by praying in other tongues enables us to tap into His mind and His thoughts that are past what our mind can calculate. Woo, and I need to get beyond my mind. Somebody said, you're out of your mind. Thank you. I've been trying to get out of my mind for a long time. Amen. You didn't mean it that way, but I take it as a compliment. I made my plans and they didn't work. So I just decided I'm going to operate out of the mind of God rather than my mind.
Right. Amen.
I'm preaching better than your amen, and I know that. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit is praying what He knows rather than what you know. And if you only pray based on what you know, you can only have what you understand. And the only things that are going to be addressed are going to be things that you understand. And those things which you don't understand will never be addressed. You need help. Tell your neighbor, you need help. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so Romans 8:28 says, with God being a partner in our labors. That's how these things are going to work out. People and ministers can have things in their heart that this has been in my heart for a long time. It's just not coming to pass. Well, there's things we have to change then. There's things we have to change. Anybody got anything in your life that hasn't come to pass for a long time? Right here's your key. Prayer in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. I've learned this over the years. Brother Hagin makes this statement, and it just struck me, and I found it to be true every single time in our lives. Now, I got to explain what it means to hit high center. Anybody know what it means or doesn't know what it means to hit high center? Raise your hand if you don't want to. Okay. City folks, you got to explain it to city folks. High center is like a vehicle going down a dirt road that has ruts in it. The center is high and the ruts are low, and the wheels get down those ruts. And if you're not careful, you can get up on a spot where the wheel ruts are too low. And the, what's that, crankcase or whatever that's called? Huh? Transmission back there. That thing. That lowest part on your axle down there in the middle. I thought I had some mechanics in the church, but anyway, I guess. That's going to hit that dirt in the middle. And it's going to hold your wheels off the ground, and you're just going to spin, and you're not going to go anywhere. It's called high center. And you can get to the place in your life where you hit high center. I mean, you're spinning your wheels, but you're not going anywhere. Now listen, you might even be making confessions of faith.
Come on.
But you're not getting anywhere. Because you're only confessing in faith what you know. But there's something you don't need, that you need to know that you don't know. So Brother Hagin made that statement. He said, when you hit high center in life or ministry, he's talking about ministry, but in life or ministry, you hit high center. He said, praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, will get you off high center. And I've learned that over the years. That's what we hit back there at the end of phase one where we were traveling full time, not pastoring. We hit high center.
Right.
We're spinning our wheels, doing everything we had been doing.
Yep.
Going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Actually going backwards.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, praying in tongues. Just pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
And wisdom started coming. Revelation started coming. And things started that we didn't know. And we started walking in it. And we caught. The wheels caught.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know about some of you. You've been in high center for too long. Hallelujah. God being a partner in their labors. God being a partner in their labors. So, God, and then you can pray and the revelation of the plan come. But still, it might not be moving forward yet. Might just be, you got the revelation, but you're not making progress in it yet.
Right.
Well, what do? You just keep on praying in the Holy Ghost until you know what to do.
Right.
Revelation of the plan is for direction in prayer. Take time to pray specifically about that. Now, when you go to prayer, you got to be careful because the Lord will lead you into different things He wants to talk to you about. But right on the other hand, you got to have times of prayer specifically for that thing that you need to change or to start moving forward. Amen. And as you do that, praying in the Holy Ghost, you can just start out and say, Father, now we're praying tonight about this. And then praying in the Holy Ghost. You pray as much as you know and you understand. Then you pray in the Holy Ghost. And then words might come out. Revelation might come out. But you ever notice that prophecies or words or things that are uttered by the Spirit are windows into the will of God or knowing what the will of God is. But just because God said something through the gift of prophecy doesn't mean it's ever going to come to pass. Remember the Bible said war, a good warfare with the prophecies? And so prophecy is given sometimes by God for us to know what to pray about. When the Lord said to me down in Kansas City when I was preaching down there, he said, there's a further plan for your ministry in this. He didn't say in this city. He said, there's a further plan for your ministry here. Right. I was in that city. Right. That was, what did he say that for? Yep. Just so I can tell you?
No.
We can twiddle our thumbs and wait and see what happens? No. We got it. That's direction in prayer.
Right.
That's direction in prayer.
Amen.
That's something to focus on in prayer.
Oh,
Jesus. Sometimes Christians, they get confused about these things because they sort of have the idea that all these things are just going to happen sovereignly. But we have more to do with the will of God coming to pass than what we've ever dared believe.
Yes,
that's what these verses are all about here in Romans 8.
Yes, sir.
And so, why does he show us things to come? Remember Jesus said the Holy Ghost will show you things to come? John 16:34. Well, so you can know what to pray about and pray it out. Pray it out. Pray out the revelation, yes. But pray things that need to be worked and set in motion and set in place. And there's a lot. Like take, for example, starting a church in the Kansas City area. There's a lot that needs to happen. There's a lot of things that need to fall into place. There's direction that needs to come. Which part of Kansas City do we go to? I mean, where's the building? Where do we start meeting? I mean, there's people that God needs to have be a part of that. We need to pray for them to find their place, find where God wants them to connect. Isn't that right? There's a lot that has to happen. And so Christians sometimes let things, what God says, get by them because they don't ill esteem these things. You know, sometimes if you don't write it down, it can get past you and you can totally forget about it. Isn't that right? I think one of the reasons sometimes is because their attitude is, well, I have a iPad file in pages full of prophecies that were given to me that not any of them have come to pass yet. So they despise prophesying. Tell your neighbor, he went ahead and started meddling in your life right now. And their attitude is, well, you know, none of these things have ever come to pass. Of course not.
Right.
With that attitude.
Come on now. Come on, sir.
Amen. You didn't do with them what you were supposed to do. Doesn't come to pass just because he said it. Amen. If what God has said isn't coming to pass, pray in the Holy Ghost. The Lord said to me, you'll just be up and running in what I really have for you and when you get in your 50s. I'm 55 here in a few months. That's halfway through there. I don't think everything's hitting quite yet. Starting churches is one thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I have that clear in my spirit. Starting churches is one thing, but there's other things.
Yes, sir.
I said there's other things.
Yes, sir.
So what are we going to do about it? We're going to spend some time in prayer tonight.
Yes.
Amen. So what God says to us is just to inform. It isn't only just to inform us. It does inform us, of course, but it shows us the work we're to do. Amen. That's when our work begins. People love to hear things from the Spirit. And they just want to kind of cherish that the Holy Ghost said it, not realizing he just gave you work to do. He gave you work to do. One of them spent some time in prayer.
Amen.
You're not going to ever get any more without spending some time in prayer. Not any further revelation and maybe not even any further progress in the plan of God. Amen. How many of you want to keep praying these things out so that life continues to progress, ministry continues to progress, and all that God has in mind, the plan, it continues to progress and move, and we never get to the place we're high center or never get to the place where we're behind. Amen.